Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C., you're listening to The Tidbit, brought to you by Curate. I'm your host and the CEO of Curate, Kim Bryden. Do you run a small business or have dreams to start one? Well, here at The Tidbit, we've got your back. Each week, we talk through tidbits of knowledge around starting or running a small business with a food and beverage lens. Now, this show, like I said, is about entrepreneurship lessons learned and tips on starting and running a small business. And at the time of this recording, we are a couple of weeks after the 2018 midterm election, and Thanksgiving is this week. And maybe I'm stating this a bit plainly, but a lot of small business owners go into business with their family members, and or around the holidays, a lot of shit can be brought up around the dinner table. And I want to address this today because it is a very critical part of running a business. Friends of mine over at a company called Holsti sent out an amazing blog post this week specifically on this topic. A little background, at Holsti, their mission is to help conscious people like you, listener, along in your journey to live a more fully and mindful life. And in today's complicated, fast-paced, hyper-connected, and often overwhelming world, it can be difficult to find perspective, to focus on what's actually important and not just what's urgent. So how do we connect in a more meaningful way with those we're in relationship with, whether that is personal or professional, especially during this very charged year? So this blog post that Holsti wrote goes on to read, "The holidays bring the stress of confronting or not confronting family and friends who have differing values or beliefs, a conflict that's particularly strong in today's polarized political climate. And while it can be difficult, this time can also be an opportunity to reconnect and rediscover what makes us similar. I personally love the opportunity to ask questions that really get to someone's heart and core values. I mean, I would say that's probably my favorite thing in life, deep relational connections. So here are a few select questions the team at Holsti poses to get people more comfortable and connected with one another. So, okay, let's begin. A few easy questions to start the conversation. These would be the icebreakers around the appetizers of good conversation, giving us a taste of what's to come and leaving us hungry for more. So here are a few easy icebreaker questions to whet the table's appetite. Question one, what does a perfect day look like for you? What is one dish your parents or grandparents made that you wish you could? Describe a time you thought your parents were 100% wrong, but eventually learned that they were kind of right. What is the kindest thing a stranger has ever done for you? Now, if you want to go a little deeper, here are a few questions that might spark a more meaningful dialogue. Now that everyone's sort of warmed up, let's take it to the next level. These questions could help people dig deeper, open up, and share more meaningful thoughts. So let's hear these questions. If you had 2 minutes to talk to yourself from 10 years ago, what would you say? What message would you put on a billboard that thousands of people would see every day? How did you or will you know you are in love? I am fascinated by the ways in which we have conversations and how we break down those relationship barriers. That's why I've asked Mike Malloy to join us in studio today to talk about difficult conversations and how to navigate complex interpersonal relationships. Mike is a seasoned professional with 10 plus years experience as a management consultant, a sunglasses startup CEO, and a startup incubator program manager. And Mike possesses a unique blend of technical expertise, interpersonal communication skills, and emotional intelligence. And he seeks to leverage his experience, network, and diverse skill set to add value in leadership roles in the DMV entrepreneurial ecosystem. So think about these questions, listener. Think about how you want to have these deeper interpersonal relationships, professionally or personally. And we will take a quick break and be right back with Mike to discuss even further.
Full Service Radio.
You're listening to The Tidbit, and we're here with Mike Malloy, Program Manager at the Halcyon Incubator. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kim. How's it going?
So glad you're here. I just want to briefly tell our listener about Halcyon before we get started. Based here in Washington, D.C., it's a nonprofit organization that supports talented individuals with great potential and high aspirations in science, art, and social entrepreneurship. So just setting the stage here for our conversation. And listener, as mentioned, this show is about entrepreneurship lessons learned and tips on starting and running a small business. And a very, very, I cannot stress this enough, very important part of running a business is the ability to be self-reflective and have difficult conversations. So thank you, Mike, for having this conversation with me.
Yeah, hopefully this one's not too difficult, yeah. But happy to share some, you know, best practices and tips to get through some of the challenging conversations that entrepreneurs can have in their business with employees, investors, as well as with significant others, family and friends who don't always understand the time commitments required to start and build your own business.
Yes. So you recently shared with me essentially a synthesized book report of learnings from a book titled Crucial Conversations, Tips of Talking When the Stakes Are High. My oh my. So do we need to have this conversation now more than ever? Let's talk about some of these lessons learned.
Absolutely. So it's a really great book. And one of the things that I love doing is reading a variety of different books. And like you said, synthesizing it, taking down the key learnings, being able to share them with others, and also kind of distilling the knowledge for myself. So one of the most important things to note about a crucial conversation is that they're nowhere on your Google calendar. Nobody schedules a 7:30 p.m. crucial conversation. They just kind of come up out of nowhere. And it's important that you understand how to recognize some of the signs or signals. It can be someone's tone of voice changing, if someone has bad news to give you, or they feel like there's a topic that you don't want to talk about and you just kind of always shove it under the rug. At some point, you have to talk about it. And when you get into one of these crucial conversations, the number one goal is to establish and maintain psychological safety. And so there's a let me unpack that word there for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Psychological safety basically means everybody in the room feels like they have a voice and that they can confidently communicate with the group. Let's say if you're in a meeting at work, for example, you should never invite someone to that meeting who doesn't have a talking part. If you come to an hour-long meeting and you say zero words, that's a waste of your time, and I guarantee that person doesn't feel psychologically safe, and their boss or their boss's boss has made it pretty clear that your opinion doesn't matter, so just sit in the corner and be quiet. Mm-hmm. The other thing to recognize is that when you get into a conversation or dialogue with someone, and dialogue is defined in the book as the free flow of meaning between two or more people, and dialogue skills are learnable. Nobody was born with the highest emotional intelligence and ability to communicate with everybody. You practice these things, and I think part of that practice is understanding when you do have a really tough conversation that did not at all go the way you wanted it to or the way the partner wanted it to, spend some time to debrief by yourself, like, hey, what did I say that really set him or her off? You know, was there, you know, something that I could have done differently or a different way to present information or ask a simple question to kind of see what we agree about and start from a shared place of meaning and mutual respect?
Mm-hmm.
One of the other key principles in establishing psychological safety is learning to look when someone doesn't feel safe. And there's two types of people, or two types of responses, really, for when you don't feel safe. And some people go to silence, and other people go to violence. Mm. And violence doesn't necessarily mean physical violence. It doesn't mean they're punching you in the face, but is their voice yelling? Are they dropping the F-bomb? And you were having a regular, nice conversation, and all of a sudden, well, I'm not going to say all the curse. Not gonna drop all the F-bombs here, because I still feel safe here with you, Kim. I appreciate
that.
Recognizing with silence, though, you know, some people will literally shut down. They might go to another room. They might just leave the whole building and say, I need a break. I'm going to go for a walk around the block. And understanding that different people have different bounce back times. So science has proven that when something bad happens, our brain releases these chemicals that take about 90 seconds to go to our toes and back up and let our body deal with this challenging circumstances. If you're still upset more than 90 seconds later, that's a direct result of the story you're telling yourself.
Interesting. Can you unpack that a bit more?
Yeah. So as humans, we're constantly telling ourselves stories about what's going on in our environment, in our interactions, something that might be our fault, which can lead to feeling shame or guilt. However, these feelings aren't permanent. Like, I'm sure we've all felt a lot of shame in the past. We've been guilty of different things. We probably feel pretty great right now. I'm excited to be here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just proof that these feelings do pass. And if you continue, though, to replay, let's say, a conversation you had where you really messed it up and you accidentally, you know, insulted the other person or offended their religion or political beliefs, whatever it is, you don't have to feel bad about that forever. And the quicker you can kind of acknowledge it, practice some self-love, a little bit of kindness and patience with yourself. No, okay, I'm not perfect. This is a learning opportunity. This was a way I tried to communicate where it was offensive or it didn't land. The message didn't land as I had intended it. What you heard was very different than what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And so being aware of that so that you can reestablish a mutual respect between the other person as well as a mutual purpose.
Yes, absolutely. My counselor, she often describes this as, what are the masks you're wearing? Or even deeper, what are the things that are hardwired into you, even from before you could like consciously realize you were being affected, oftentimes by parents. And I love that you brought up if your resiliency to bounce back extends beyond that 90 seconds. That story that replays in your mind most likely is tapping into one of these masks you're wearing or that wiring within you that has been set there for so long. And you need to take that time then to self-reflect and recognize, why is this affecting me in this way that I've had this prolonged feeling now past, you know, 90 seconds of time.
Absolutely. And another kind of important 90 seconds in any conversation is the first 90 seconds. So there's a lot of research that shows how someone behaves the first 90 seconds when they enter a room drastically alters the course of all of the other interactions that happen when you come home. And I'll use an example. You come home from work at the end of a long day. If you open the door and your kid comes running up to you and you go, oh, not now, I need to go get a drink. Holy cow. Like, you've immediately said, I don't love you. I have a dependency on alcohol. I'm not here to fill this home with love and happiness and joy. I want to self-medicate, and I'm probably depressed or upset or angry about something. You know, that's completely different than walking in the front door and saying, hey, honey, I'm home. I love you. I hope you had a great day today. Can't wait to have dinner together. Oh, my goodness. I'd be excited to come into that home or to have that person come home to me. Fun fact, that's actually how I come home every night to my fiancé.
Well, yeah, it really means being intentional about, again, how you're showing up in a room, whether it is coming home or walking into a meeting. It's not, your actions matter, even on that micro level of the words you're choosing. So thank you for bringing that up. And once you've created this safe space to have a crucial conversation, how can then you, I guess I'll say, tactfully approach stating your viewpoint? Again, this is important in all types of relationships, professional and personal. And Mike, you've distilled three very interesting concepts with the acronyms STATE, STATE, AMP, AMPP, and ABCs. So talk us through each of these frameworks. Again, once you've created that psychological safe space, how can you then move forward in the conversation?
Yeah, so we'll start with STATE. And STATE, the first S stands for share your facts. And come to the conversation and kind of tell your story, not in a combative way, but in a, hey, here's what I think happened. Let me share my path and how I got here and why I'm thinking this. And then the T stands for tell your story. And you, again, are sharing what you've experienced to bring that to the forefront of the conversation. And after you've shared your path, the A stands for ask for the other's path. So you want to understand, what path did they take to get to this conversation? You may be working on a big project. You may think you did all this work in the 5 hours you had to prepare for this. maybe the other person spent 50 hours, you know, preparing to go into this room and have this meeting, and they've worked so much harder. And if you're not open to listening to what they've experienced and what they went through, which certainly shapes their opinion of what you're working on, it can be a big challenge. So the T then, after you ask for their story, is to talk tentatively. You're not coming in there like a dictator or an authoritarian who's going to say, and this is exactly what we're going to do, we're going to do it this way, and it's because I said so. No. Oh, well, it's interesting you say, you know, you spent so much time working on that. Could you tell me a little bit more about what were the priorities in that part of the project and what's been some of the deliverables or outcomes or key learnings from your experiences? And again, creating a shared pool of meaning for the two people in the conversation to share information that can shape both of their perspectives about the topic. And then the E at the end of state stands for encourage testing, which means you want to invite other people's perspectives and kind of play devil's advocate, be open to looking at a problem from multiple angles, not just through your lens, which is sometimes rose-colored, if you will.
Yeah, and I really cannot emphasize that final E enough because in my experience, having conversations often ends with that tentative discussion and then people leave and there's no... means for people to keep coming back to the table with their tested experiences.
So let me play back what I hear you're saying, Kim,
yeah.
Is that sometimes people have these conversations and at the end there's no real closure or agreement or any sort of coming to terms.
Yes.
And what I actively tried to do right here was replay what I heard to communicate to the person speaking that, hey, this is what I heard. It may not be exactly what you said. However, this is kind of through my ears and filter and worldview, how I perceive what you're saying. And in order to kind of play it back and invite the other people in the conversation to say, you know, some people are like, right, you know, and they just want the agreement. No, actually, sincerely ask, hey, would you mind just kind of playing back what you heard? What's kind of your key takeaway from what I just shared?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I am speechless because I am with you in all of this. So what is this next framework, AMP?
Yeah, so AMP's all about listening, and it's a powerful framework for developing better listening techniques. And that first A stands for ask. You want to ask questions to get things rolling. I'm a huge proponent of the power of questions. You can learn almost anything on the planet if you ask the right questions. The M in AMP stands for mirror, and you want to actually mirror the other person's feelings and sometimes their body language, as I cross my legs to mirror Kim here.
Yes, sitting in the same spot.
The first P is to paraphrase, to acknowledge the story, like I just said, kind of playing back what it is that I heard. Here's what I think this means. And the bonus second P is sometimes you're listening and you're really not exactly sure what's going on, so you want to prime the pump and kind of sit, you know, try something like, well, are you thinking this or are you feeling this? And kind of guess what that thought or emotion might be. Be prepared to be completely wrong, and that's totally fine. But it's a way, especially when you hit kind of a roadblock and the conversation, you're not sure where it's going. I like to ask the question, what's on your mind? Most of the time, people will share what they're thinking. Every once in a while, I'm like, I don't care what. No.
Yeah. And then the last framework, the ABCs.
Yes. So, you know, we're back to kindergarten now. A is very important that we agree, and we agree on what we agree on. So once you state your story and communicate it to your counterpart, you want to listen to their story and identify in a Venn diagram, if you will, what's in the middle, what do you guys both agree on, and reiterate that, you know, hey, we agree this is important. We agree that the budget is a big challenge. We agree this is the time we want to, you know, solve this problem. The B stands for build, and you build where the other person may have left some key components out of their stories. And this will almost always happen because, again, in the Venn diagram, this is kind of the stuff that is on your side of the circle, but not necessarily their side of the circle. And it is part of your worldview and what you believe to be the truth. So you want to build and kind of add that into the shared pool of meaning together. Mm-hmm. And then the C stands for compare. And you want to compare where you differ. And maybe Kim thinks it should be blue and Mike thinks it should be red. You know, let's compare and contrast. What are the... And I guess there's a little politics analogy there, but not really. But, you know, understanding what are the differences in both of our perspectives and having a psychologically safe dialogue about those topics. And again, being aware that if perhaps you bring something up when you're comparing and if the other person shuts down and crosses their arm and furrows their brow or starts to yell at you or get angry and throws something across the room, okay, take a step back. So here's another thing. When you recognize that the other person doesn't feel safe, you actually want to step out of the content of the conversation and step back and kind of zoom out to the context and find ways to reestablish that psychological safety by saying something, you know, hey, Kim, your feelings are really important to me. I don't mean to upset you. And I do want to communicate that this is important to me. So you're not completely backing down. You're not saying what I said is wrong.
You're not giving up your boundaries.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's huge. I want to reframe or regurgitate, I don't know, say back to you what I just heard, which is when someone feels that they're in a psychologically unsafe space, step out of the content and then re-look at the context of that safe space. And it's something I have a challenge with because when I'm in a difficult conversation, I want to be in the content and I want to be in the space of listening to each other's stories and coming up with a solution to that problem. But there's no way you're ever going to find any sort of common ground if somebody isn't feeling like they're in a safe space. So thank you for really shining light on that. We are going to take a quick break here and then dive a little bit deeper into how you can use these frameworks in your entrepreneurial journey, again, in a professional context, but also in your personal relationships. We'll be right back.
Full Service Radio.
You're listening to The Tidbit, and we're here with Mike Malloy, Program Manager at the Halcyon Incubator. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kim.
Thanks for being here. So, Mike, you've been an entrepreneur, and now you work with cohorts of entrepreneurs. And I cannot express enough how glad I am that you've created this dialogue around personal self-development and growth. So I would love if you could share with us a few resources you turn to personally, or maybe you share with entrepreneurs when they're going through a rough patch. Maybe talk to us a bit more about those resources and why you've chosen them.
Absolutely. So entrepreneurship is a really lonely, challenging, struggle-filled, self-doubt-infused journey that some crazy people like us decide to embark on. And
so wild.
Yeah. I found that almost nobody can predict all of the ups and downs and twists and turns that you're going to experience. And I think developing grit and resilience are two of the most important skills for entrepreneurs and really anyone in general to be successful and able to persevere through any number of personal and professional setbacks, whether that's a customer not buying or an investor not giving you a check or significant other breaking up with you or a loved one passing away. There's a lot of challenges in life, and I have over the past 3 or 4 years really become a student of the philosophy of Stoicism.
And tell us more.
So Stoicism is kind of the belief that 99% of things are outside of our control, and we should not spend any time and energy focusing on things you cannot control. What we can control is our own reasoned mind and how we perceive and view the world around us. And the stories we tell ourselves, going back to the first part of the conversation, the stories we tell ourselves about our interactions with other people and being able to kind of reframe them and accept whatever happens and know that, okay, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can. And so there's a great book by Ryan Holiday called The Daily Stoic. I've got it right here with some pretty torn pages on it that I read every morning. And I highly recommend it to all the entrepreneurs out there. They got a website, I think dailystoic.com, where they'll send you an email every morning with a little Stoic reading from some of the ancient Greek and Roman philosophers and then a paragraph or two kind of applying it to present day. I have found doing this as part of my morning routine, and I'll kind of segue into what I do in the first hour of the day that really sets my mood and kind of attitude for the rest of the day. One, it's waking up and being happy to be there. And before I go to bed, I put a glass of water on the nightstand. So the first thing I do is chug a glass of water. Pro tip number one, it's impossible to drink too much water. And anytime you're drinking water, you can't do almost anything else bad, including drinking alcohol or talking or saying things you might regret. So anytime you're in a crucial conversation or a meeting, have a glass of water nearby. Another person can't really criticize you for taking 2 seconds to get some water, rehydrate, let your brain think of something non-combat mentality minded that you can share. And so after some water in the morning, I think positive affirmations are a really powerful tool for entrepreneurs to develop a healthy mindset and create positive self-talk tapes that they kind of play over and over. So I read a great book by Napoleon Hill called The Power of Positive Thinking. And he's got three affirmations. He says you say every morning, I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel terrific. And that's a pretty powerful threesome right there. And I told my dad about this, and he was like, Mike, that's great, but you forgot one. I said, what's that, Dad? And he said, I feel loved. Now, that's a powerful thing to say. I just got the full body serotonin, oxytocin, happy chemicals just thinking about the fact that my dad loves me. And if you can say those four things, I do it every morning before I hop in the shower. Hop in a cold shower, by the way, because that can help wake your brain up without coffee.
Whoa, that is bold moves.
Especially in the wintertime. It's now a little bit harder to get out of the cold showers, but I found within 3 or 4 minutes, I'm awake and alert. My body is flowing. I have never drowned. I've never met anyone who died from a cold shower. It's a little bit of being uncomfortable. And as an entrepreneur, you better be prepared to be uncomfortable a fair amount of your day every day. We're constantly trying new things we've never done before, learning new skills, pitching to customers and investors that are most of the time going to say no. So how do you get told no 7 times and pop back up that 8th time and be excited to knock on the next door and give your sales presentation? Mm-hmm. And then along with reading The Daily Stoic, I have another book I read every morning I encourage for entrepreneurs called John Maxwell's Daily Leadership Page a Day.
Okay.
And it's basically, if you guys don't know John Maxwell, he's one of the all-time best writers and public speakers about leadership, really a big role model and quote-unquote mentor of mine. Fun fact, anybody who writes a book can be a mentor. They don't actually have to meet with you in person. They're sharing their wisdom through books, and then they get to be your buddy. So starting every day with a little leadership lesson, something that I can bring to work and to coaching Frisbee and to other parts of my life, how can I as a leader develop other leaders? So good leaders aren't creating followers, they're creating more good leaders.
I love this. And I would just love to suggest to you, listener, that if you are not currently an entrepreneur, or maybe are thinking to yourself, maybe I'm an intrapreneur in my organization. These are skills that all humans need in this journey of life, because unfortunately or fortunately, we're entering into this new shift of the economy that is going to require all of us to be a new level of resiliency and adaptability. This is no longer beholden to a few wild and crazy individuals who have decided to start their own businesses. All of us are now entering a time where jobs that we thought were going to be forever jobs are no longer going to exist. So again, listener, no matter where you are on your life journey right now, these aren't just beholden to people who deem themselves entrepreneurs. We all have to consider these ways of our self-talk and how are we showing up in the world with our best selves.
Absolutely. And everyone has several different parts of their best self. Mm-hmm. And so I have a theory called basically the 10 pillars of life, that there are 10 kind of pillars that we build internally that support ourselves over time. And kind of the first four are your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to be emotionally, mentally, or spiritually feeling well if you're sick. So the first thing you gotta do is take care of your body. You know, get 8 hours of sleep every night, eat a few healthy meals, drink lots of water. And I strive to get 1% better in each of these pillars every day. So physically, that might be, you know, doing 15 burpees in the morning, going for a run or a bike ride for a little bit, playing some ultimate frisbee, whatever it is you need to get your heart rate moving, a little bit of physical exercise.
And here what I'm doing is, like, instead of taking a car to go, I'm going to walk a mile. I mean, to each their own.
That works. You get your steps in, Kim. That totally works. And I think building on sort of the mental piece is I try to spend 25 minutes a day reading a book. Well, I have ADD, so I like to read 4 or 5 different books at the same time and kind of jump around from one chapter here and there. And what I found is really fun for my brain is to kind of have ideas sex together and take something I'm learning from one book and apply it to another book. And, hey, this is something I could use for this entrepreneur that I'm currently advising, and trying to find ways to do pattern recognition and apply these learnings to help other people around me.
Mm-hmm. I think, what is the term for that? Expert generalism or something like this?
Love that. Yeah.
Is that, I, I'm pretty sure I've read many an article about Elon Musk being a expert generalist or something of the sort, because it's important that you're gleaning learnings from across different silos or across different industries and seeing how it's applicable in these contexts that you wouldn't necessarily think that batteries have to do with, I don't know, space flight, I don't know, etc. So for our listener who is actually starting or running a business and is planning for the year ahead, what lessons have you learned that you can pass along to this entrepreneur for setting boundaries? This is something I personally am working on constantly, personally and professionally. So all of the tips you've shared, from having these crucial conversations to the resources around self-reflection and self-development, to set better boundaries for ourselves, how can we do this with, I mean, honestly, to avoid being burned out?
Yeah, so the first thing you can do is put down your phone.
Mm.
And not have it be the first thing you pick up in the morning. Pick up the glass of water, leave your phone in the charger. All right, spend the first hour of your day not engaging with technology. Human beings were not designed to be wired into their Instagram feed and have all this social anxiety about everybody's delicious breakfast and coffee that looks so good. Their lives suck too. Most of the time, they just don't post about it on Instagram. So by decreasing the amount of time you're looking to social media or checking work emails at, you know, 6:30 as soon as you wake up in the morning, it's just bringing some stress and anxiety. What if instead you got up, you had a good breakfast, you took a shower, perhaps a cold shower, and then actually wrote down with a piece of paper and a pen, you know, we've had those things for a long time. Remember school when we wrote things down, what your three objectives were for that day, and prioritizing the things you want to get done and using that time. I'm very protective of my time before noon to focus on the projects, the tasks that are most important to me before I get caught up in all of the fires I got to put out and everybody who's got these problems that I need to solve and, you know, getting caught up in the urgent, not important. You have to carve time to work on the important, not urgent parts of your life, because that's the big high-level stuff, the goals, the things you're working towards, the plans, the timelines, that it's not, you don't have to finish it by 2 o'clock this afternoon. However, the more time you spend working on your business as opposed to working in your business, the higher potential there is for growth. So there's a guy, Dan Sullivan, who's the strategic coach, and he's got this thing called the 10X mindset, basically, where it's much better to find ways to 10X parts of your business than it is to 2X. You can 2X most things just by working harder and longer and spending, you know, an extra 20 hours at the office each week. Sure, you could double your productivity. If you're going to 10X something, you have to radically reimagine how this process is being done, how you're acquiring customers, how you're working them through the sales funnel, what are the benefits you're applying, how can you outsource, automate, or delegate parts of your daily, somewhat annoying task list. So that you don't have to do it anymore and you focus on the small subset of things that fascinate and motivate you.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that ultimately is what is causing a lot of burnout in individuals, because you're caught up in that standard operating procedure. You don't have time to automate, delegate. What was the third one?
Outsource.
Yep. Because you're just in it all of the time and you don't have that time and space to be reflective, to radically imagine a new way. Yeah. I love this. So how can people find you? Oh yeah. You've got another.
I got one more thing. Just on boundaries.
Yeah.
Is also to have some personal time bound boundaries when you stop checking work emails. Like, don't send emails to your team members or clients at 11 o'clock at night or 2 in the morning, because then they freak out and think they need to be on at all those times. It creates a stressed out team. People are too hyper connected. At least one day, Saturday or Sunday, just completely unplug. No work emails. Like, read a book, go for a walk, play with some kids or a puppy. Like, do things that genuinely bring joy and bliss into your life. And then one last thing I'll share too is, like, I'm currently engaged in wedding planning. Believe it or not, listeners, there's a little bit of stress involved in the wedding planning process. And my fiance and I have come with a great kind of solution that we set a boundary where at some point every night, one of us is too tired of doing wedding planning. So we just stop. And we don't wedding planning until we pass out, because then someone's going to be upset and we're going to bed angry. No, like, we reach a point somewhere between 8 to 10:30 at night where we're like, hey, we got a lot done today. Let's wrap it up and let's go watch an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld and have some laughs and end the day on a joyful note.
Yes. Yeah. And isn't that such an important part of having an open safe space conversation with, again, personal or professional partners, is saying this is the boundary of when the conversation needs to end so that we're not ending on such a level of bitterness. We need to end in a spirit of positivity. Thank you. So how can people find out more about you, your endeavors, maybe things that are going on at Halcyon?
Yeah, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. My email is mwmalloy@gmail.com. Would love to follow up with you if you've got any questions about some of these resources or kind of the daily stoic practices and ways that you can get a little bit more control in the stories you're telling yourself and become a better communicator with those around you to live a happier, more joyful, bliss-filled life.
Thank you so much, Mike. So, listener, I don't know if you know this, but this show is based off of our biweekly newsletter that we send out at Curate. It's called The Tidbit, obviously. And in it, we discuss what we're reading, eating, drinking, listening to, and learning. A lot of times, our learning articles are around resources like we've been talking about today. So these are 5 quick morsels of information to get you in the know and on top of your game. So head over to curate.co, C-U-R-E-A-T-E.co to sign up. And until next time, everyone, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.